On the 26th of June 2021, Sydney went into lockdown, forcing the cinemas to close, and along with it, all of the upcoming releases from major movie studios. On the 4th of August, Melbourne was also plunged into lockdown to combat the Delta variant that spread down from Sydney. Both states are arguably the biggest box office hitters when it comes to Australian movie releases. Today, we look at what films are worth watching when lockdowns lift here on the first episode of Pop Culture Essentials. I'm Alistair Leith, Editor-in-Chief of Novastream Network. Welcome to Pop Culture Essentials. I am your host for this first episode, Alistair. Joining me today is Nick.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks, mate. How are you?
Good. Where are you in the world right now?
I am based in Brisbane, Queensland, Australia.
Land of the free. Joining us is Brad.
Hi there, everybody. From Sydney.
How are you?
Very well, and you?
Sydney. Good. Good to know that I have someone else who's also currently in lockdown.
Yes, lockdown buddies.
And joining, rounding out the cast tonight is Pete.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you.
That was very Kristen Wiig of you, that high.
I try.
And where are you in the world?
I'm also talking to you from Brisbane, so land of the free indeed.
Wow, we really need to vet these people a bit better, I think. All right, make a note. So today we are going to be talking about lockdown, which will be fun for two of us. So I guess, Brad, we'll start with you. How long have you been without cinema for, we'll call it?
So I actually work at a cinema in Sydney, and we closed down, I think it was like the 24th of June. It was like the Saturday at the end of June there that we, massive scramble to close the place up just as the lockdown was being enforced sort of thing. So, yeah, I've been without cinemas since about then.
Oof. Do you remember the last thing you saw?
That's right. It was the Hitman's bodyguard's wife's bodyguard.
Oh, dear God. That's not a great one to end the...
Sorry.
Oh,
no.
God, I barely got through that on the screener.
Yes, well, that stage...
Okay.
At that stage, the lockdown was, you know, still sort of up in the air sort of thing, so it wasn't like we knew that was going to be the end of it.
So you've been...
Oh, hey.
You've been constantly going to the cinema, I see,
yes,
by your Instagram. So, not jealous at all. Haven't unsubscribed.
No. Not yet, no.
How is the popcorn tasting is the big question.
As salty and buttery as ever. It's one of those things that I know from last year's, like 2020's lockdown, that I missed a lot. So it's nice to be able to have that. I won't lie.
Your lockdown was like a week, right?
So yeah, like we've had like three snap lockdowns this year and they've all lasted about 7 days.
Don't make...
And we get upset when they're like, it'll be 3 days and then it gets extended to 7 days, so...
Don't want to pull out the over 200 days card. But it's, you know, lifting up higher in my pocket. Pete, how are you? Well, you're not in lockdown, so you're great. What have been your, if you were to recommend three films to Brad and myself to watch when we get out, what would the three be? And keep in mind that the first movie will be the first thing that we've seen for months.
Oh, well, nothing like making that extra hard for me. I mean, honestly, one of the films, I mean, I've been seeing a lot because I'm doing Toronto at the moment as well. But one of the films that really, really stuck out for me that is currently in general release here, I'm assuming it might go to like Disney Plus or Star or something because it's a 20th Century Fox release, but it's Summer of Soul, which is Questlove's documentary about the 1969 Harlem Music Festival that all the footage was just erased for years and he's finally put it together. It was, yeah, I was kind of, didn't really know what I was expecting to go into it. Completely blew me away. Amazing film. And then speaking to Questlove about it was like just hearing him how important it was to him. So that would be something that I think should definitely be sought out.
Okay, not expecting that. I'm very happy you didn't say Free Guy. Even though I've heard it's good, leave me alone. Not a Ryan Reynolds fan. Brad, what do you think your first movie will be? If you get a whole day and you can see three films back to back, obviously you can because you work at a cinema.
Yes. Yes. Well, I'm very much looking forward to... I'm a huge or big James Gunn fan, so I'm looking forward to seeing The Suicide Squad. I absolutely love the two Guardians of the Galaxy movies, so I'm very much looking forward to that. Then the other two would be the sort of the two Sparks Brothers movies. The document tree about them, directed by Edgar Wright. I'm an Edgar Wright fan, but it also features an appearance by who I think is one of the great musical artists who has ever lived, Weird Al Yankovic. So I'm looking forward to that. And then the musical they did, Annette, which I'm looking forward to as well. I haven't seen anything of it, but I've heard kind of good reviews, so I'm sort of, interested to see. It looks a bit different to your average
musical. Is Annette getting a cinema release here?
I thought it was out.
It's it's already...
I'm pretty sure it's out at the moment.
Sorry, it's come out here in Queensland.
I think, it's coming. I think it's like pretty much almost gone. And I know that the physical release is soon. So it might be end up being one that you like, that might skip cinemas in other states.
I hope not, because I feel like it's definitely one that's worth watching on the big screen. Like it's one of those, like you need to see it in a cinema because of the content. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, I mean, that's the thing I'm wondering about a lot of these movies that are coming out at the moment, is as to whether we're going to get a cinema release here in New South Wales or even Melbourne.
Well, speaking from lockdown experience, no, they don't. They just choose the greatest hits, what they think people will go and see.
Unfortunately.
And then throw those up. So I'm hoping Shang-Chi, I don't have high hopes, but... Maybe Shang-Chi, maybe Free Guy. So, Nick, I had issues with my list, so I think I need your help.
Yes.
So, even though I've already seen it, I want to see Malignant on the big screen.
Yes.
Preferably with, like, a group of friends that like cheesy horror.
A cheesy horror, hey?
Hmm.
Okay. I feel like, because that's October, so, and James Wan's always, like, a big spectacle horror sort of guy. Like, even in his smaller films, like Insidious, that still has, like, a larger-than-life, big sets and, like, grand design sort of feel to it. So, I feel like Malignant could be definitely worth a cinema watch.
Good choice. Shang-Chi and Free Guy. Wait for streaming or go to the big screen?
Shang-Chi, I feel like it's wrong to like miss a Marvel movie in the cinema if you have the chance to see it. Plus, I think the first half of Shang-Chi feels the least Marvel-y a Marvel film has felt in a while, in a good way. It's like a real, it harkens back to a lot of like martial arts films. It's a lot of inspiration and seems to be like homage to Asian cinema. And it was really interesting. Like, it was really fun. I enjoyed that sort of visual aesthetic to it. And just for the bus scene alone, that's all I'll say if you haven't seen it. The bus scene is incredible and the action is well worth watching on the screen. Free Guy, I feel like you can watch on streaming. I enjoyed the hell out of it and it's a very big and colorful movie. But like at the same time, I loved it when I saw it. And the more I think about it, I'm like, I might not watch that again. sort of thing. Not in a bad way, but I was like,
Free Guy did also, I think, helped seeing it in the cinema with an audience, because there's one particular visual gag that audiences went batshit crazy for, and it might lose a little bit of its fun if you're watching it at home, but overall, it is a movie that you could probably just wait for streaming or physically.
Yeah, it's meant to be out on Disney Plus in like 2 weeks.
So. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that'll probably coincide. Right. With,
I think I've got my three, maybe. So, moving on to a trailer that came out. Well, it came out last week.
Yes, yes, yes.
But it's still kind of doing a lot of chatter over the internet.
Ooh.
The Matrix Resurrection. Now, I feel Space Jam Legacy vibes cashing in. Horrible, not interested. Till I saw the trailer. And I may be very hyped and into it now. Because they also didn't make Keanu cut his hair. Good move. What do you guys think? Were you into this? Were you not? Pete, let's go with you.
I'll admit that because we heard about the movie for so long and it felt like, when are we going to get a trailer for a movie that's coming out in the next, 3 to 4 months? I was a little bit skeptical because, I mean, the first movie is great. The two other sequels I haven't revisited as much. So this one, I was kind of like, I'm excited, but I'm also not like clamoring for it. I heard more about the casting and I was really interested. And then, like, you know, Christina Ricci got announced really quite late and Yahya Abdul-Mateen is amazing and everything. So I'm really looking forward to him here. I saw the trailer and I don't think it looks like a typical Matrix movie, which I think is making me actually quite excited for it because I think it looks like it's delivering something different.
Okay. Is anyone else like ridiculously like excited over the moon? It's going to be a $1 billion hit for Warner Brothers.
I don't think it's going to be a $1 billion hit. I'm usually skeptical about a lot of films where the sequel comes out so far away from the last film. But you know, the trailer looks good. I'm pretty much like Pete. I'm not, you know, overly keen on it, but I'll wait to see what the film is like.
I'm like the sort of person who never likes a trailer the first time I watch it, because I try and not watch trailers as much as possible. That's not coming from like a little like pretentious, like, oh, I just want to be surprised by the movie sort of vibe. Like, I'm just like, oh, I just want to just go in as fresh as possible. But I was excited before the trailer came out with the marketing campaign when they relaunched the whatisthematrix.com. And did anyone do this? Did you guys go on the website before the trailer dropped? And you could click the red pill or the blue pill and it would take you to each one had its own teaser for the teaser. And I think if you click the red pill, it was Yahya Abdul-Mateen's voice telling you that this is the life you're living in, a fake life basically. And it had a time stamp on there that was the actual time you were watching it. So say we're recording at 7:39, it was going like, where you are, you think it's 7:39 PM, but that's so far from the truth. And then it showed clips and then you'd click the blue pill and it was Neil Patrick Harris's voice. And he was telling you that, like, you may feel like you're in a dream, but that's just your mind being like playing tricks on you. You don't have to fall for it. It is currently 7:39 PM and everything's okay. And then it would show you other clips from the teaser. So that got me excited enough because I was like, well, that marketing is working on me. And then I watched the trailer and I was like, yeah, I am going to watch it because it's The Matrix, but it just looks like a big budget action film with lots of colors.
What do we think about the casting? So obviously two out of the three Biggs are back. I don't remember the sequels, to be 100% honest with you. I could not tell you anything that happened in them or any characters that died. So that'll be a fun rewatch headed my way. I read online that apparently Morpheus died in the Matrix Online game. Is that correct?
Yeah. I have no idea.
Okay.
Is that canon? Is that...
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you, the gods of cinema.
if that's canon, then they did a really good job of hiding that, didn't they?
So is Yaya meant to be Morpheus?
In the trailer, he's the Morpheus type. He's a type,
but his name isn't Morpheus.
I'm not sure what it is. Yeah, they don't reveal his name in the trailer as far as I remember. But he's the Morpheus type. He's taking Neo through that same sort of journey he went on in the Matrix with the, you know, follow me down the rabbit hole, Alice sort of thing. And the same get up too. The glass, same sunglasses, same, you know, long leather coats. The 90s.
It definitely was. Wasn't it, Pete?
Well, yeah, I feel like... Well, that's what I think. I think, like, they're either making him to be the new Morpheus, or it's just a case of Morpheus is a, like, a symbol for something, and Yahya Abdul-Mateen is the, you know, is the embodiment of this, of that particular, you know, character.
Yeah, right.
Ooh, interesting theory.
Is Morpheus a program?
Yeah.
In the
I mean, I know that I would particularly choose a Yahya looking Morpheus over a Lawrence Fishburne.
So anyone have any theories about the plot before we move on? Anyone have any wild theories that they've been sitting on for however many years it's been since the last one?
I was talking to someone today about this, and the idea they had was that it's not the Matrix, it's a new program that the machines have built, because obviously the Matrix is defunct after Neo broke it. But the Matrix is still there, they're still coding for it, and they actually use the Matrix to destroy this new simulation. Which I thought was So they're kind of hidden.
If that's not the movie now, I'm going
to
be really...
Yeah, well, this person who he was talking to is a lot smarter than I am. So I just sat there like mouthing up, like, oh yeah, that sounds great. And then I was shoving popcorn in.
They must be from Melbourne or Sydney.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to give us too much credit. Queenslanders can't come up with the theories that good, can we?
Right, so the Matrix Resurrection trailer. Interesting. A thing that I'm mostly annoyed about. December 22 release date, US, HBO Max. Australia release date, January 1st. Have they learnt nothing from the Lego movies?
And, like, it's... Every article I see about piracy is like, Australia's the best at it. So it's like, how do you want to combat this by not releasing the movie? It doesn't even have to be day and date. Just give us Boxing Day. Or give it to us beforehand. I won't be upset at that
especially
either.
Especially with HBO Max, because they go up online.
I know.
Like, straight away. And now it's time for my favorite segment of our podcast, Pop Culture Essentials. Time to find out what is essential in your pop culture this week. Let's go with Nick.
Well, on the night of recording on Netflix, Sex Education Season 3 has dropped, and I'm a big fan of that show. I think it's hilarious. I think it's very heartfelt, and I'm very excited to spend my weekend watching all, I believe there's 8 episodes of Season 3, and I don't know whether it's the last season. I can't remember where they've confirmed it. I'll be sad if it is, because I think it's a funny show, and if you haven't seen it, give it a go. UK comedy at its best.
Definitely. Brad?
Yes, this is probably not necessarily an essential for this week. It's one of my essentials for every week. It's a podcast called This Had Oscar Buzz. These two film writers, Chris Feil and Joe Reed, each week they analyse a film that at one stage or another had high expectations for Oscars, but didn't get anything at all. Like, not even winnings or anything, just no nominations or anything. Last couple of weeks, they did The Mule, Clint Eastwood's The Mule. Did Moonlight Mile a couple of weeks ago. First one was like Mona Lisa Smile. Things like that sort of thing. But they do a really excellent analysis of the films themselves and sort of what box office, Oscar expectations they were supposed to have had, and sort of why it didn't happen, and sort of generally if they had any lead up nominations, like if they had Golden Globes or SAGs or something like that. Yet they analyze the different categories of what the film might have gotten. Really good. They're the guys are very well informed and know their material and stuff. And the highlight, one of the highlights of the podcast for me is a game they play at the end called the IMDb game. So each week they choose an actor or actress, and then they challenge each other to guess the top four titles as they appear on IMDb, or they're most known for. So they would say, for example, talking about The Matrix, that we were Keanu Reeves. The other person would have to guess the top four known titles that Keanu Reeves is most known for on IMDb. And yeah, you have to know up front if it's TV or voiceover work. But yeah, it's really a really fun game they play each week, which I quite enjoy.
Cool, sounds good. Pete, what have you got for us?
Well, because this whole... Actually, the last few months have just been me watching stuff purely for reviewing reasons, and I love that, but sometimes I just want to watch a movie for the sake of watching a movie, and I bought a whole heap of Blu-rays. Some have arrived, some I'm still waiting on, but my weekend is just going to be going through my collection and watching films for the hell of it. Even though I've seen them, I want to watch them again, and I don't want to have to think about what I'm watching.
That sounds amazing. I need some of your spare time.
It might be the only free time I get, so I'm going to embrace it, because the next week ahead is going to be hectic. I have like 6 interviews I've got to transcribe. Use it wisely. So, yeah.
Sounds like you are. I have a podcast as well. It is called Time to Die. It is an Australian podcast with a Aussie comedians. Basically, it's a game. So two comedians have to write a set for each other. They then have to go somewhere and perform it and do their best to completely bomb and get booed off the stage.
I don't want to see that in person. Nice. It'd be so much fun.
Well, if you're a Patreon subscriber... you can watch the videos. And the episode that I listened to this week is Jack Druce and Annie Louie.
Oh, Annie Louie. She's cool. I like her.
And it's hosted by Tom Whitty and Ben Russell. It's so funny. Like, I can't even tell you how funny it is. So definitely check it out. If you have children around, definitely pop your headphones in. Because you do not want them hearing this. But yeah, it is Time to Die, and yeah, you can check that out on your podcast platforms. There is only 3 episodes, as it was just before COVID that they started it, so, but still, 3 good eps. And that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you so much for coming on, everyone. Nick, Brad, Pete, do you want to plug any of your socials?
Thank you. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can follow me at Nick's Flixfix on Instagram, where I do 60-second movie reviews, and also subscribe to the Nick's Flixfix podcast. And you can see all my written reviews at novastream.com, novastreamnetwork.com. It's not a suck-up plug. Wow. That's just, you know, it's where some of my best work goes. Guys, come on.
Heavily edited. Pete?
You can find me on Twitter at RatedPDG. And because I like to throw my reviews around, you can find me on Rotten Tomatoes, because I'm certified. And my name there means
hell,
you can
yeah.
see all of my wonderful reviews. Because, yes, I said it. I think I'm a bloody good reviewer. So there you go.
Agreed. Brad?
I'm on Twitter at MovieMoose2. I don't really post all that much, but occasionally I do, if anybody's interested.
And that is it. You are all caught up on what is essential in pop culture this week. Thank you so much for tuning in to our first episode. And a huge thanks to our hosts, Brad, Nick, and Pete. If you like what we're doing, you can follow us on Twitter at PopCultureEssentials, or send us an email, PopCultureEssentialsAU@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a Pixar project looking at the first Toy Story film.